So last week we left Jesus and the disciples there by the edge of the lake. They had tried to escape. Jesus, we're told, had spent so much time, so much energy in ministering to the crowds. He was just spent. He'd had it. We also heard that John the Baptist had just been put to death. So he needed perhaps just some time also to grieve. And we're told they were so busy that the disciples didn't even have time to find something to eat. And so it was then that Jesus said to them, let's get out of here. Let's get away from the crowd. Let's go to a quiet place, some quiet place where we can be by ourselves and just to recoup. And they get in the boat and go around the lake. And what do they face? But this crowd of people. So we jump from the Gospel of Mark that we've been listening to, of course, for the rest of this year. And we jump to the same place in the same story to the Gospel of John. And here we discover that Jesus has now taught the people. He's ministered to them. He's continued to do that because, as we heard last week, when Jesus arrived, they were like sheep without a shepherd. They needed to be ministered. They needed to be pastored. And so he had compassion on the crowd. And so he has compassion now by asking this question: where are we going to get food for these people to eat? The compassion of the Lord first in providing the teaching. You know, we need to be nourished by God's word. We need to be formed and shaped by his word. But we're human. We're bodily. We need the fullness. We need every aspect and every part of our lives also to be provided for and given by Jesus. So he asked Philip, where can we buy some bread for these people to eat? And one of those little, you know, great lines that we have, you know, the narrator then tells us, or the author of the gospel, you know, kind of whispers to us. He only said this to test Philip. He himself knew what was about to happen. And we get these little lines, you know, so that we know what is actually happening in the heart and the mind of Jesus as all of this unfolds. And Philip's like, look, even if we had 200 denarii, and like none of us have got any money, none of us have got the means, we weren't even able to provide food for ourselves. That's why we were hungry. That's why we needed it. How can we possibly get enough food to feed this crowd? We don't have money. We don't have the resources that are necessary. How often do we in the church kind of think that? We haven't got what's necessary. We haven't got the things that we need to be able to feed the people. And yet Jesus says, well, what do you have? What is available? And then Andrew seems to be the one in John's gospel who's kind of mixing with the people. He seems to know the needs. Later on in chapter 12, it'll be Andrew that'll point out that some Greeks are wanting to see Jesus. So he seems to be this great interfacer, a great evangelist who's there kind of ministering and leading between the people. And he's obviously found this little boy who has his lunch. Five loaves, two fish. It's barely enough to feed one, let alone to feed any more than that. But what is that between so many? And then all Jesus says is, make the people sit down. He's already told us that it's just shortly before the Jewish feast of Passover. It's the second time that the feast of Passover has been mentioned in the Gospel of John, in chapter 2. And then, of course, in chapter 12, when comes into the final week and the third celebration of this great festival. But there's plenty of grass there. Of course, it's early spring. That's when the Feast of Passover happens. And in Galilee, there is grass at that time of the year. It's green, it's lush, it's vibrant. The rain has fallen and it's able to be sustained. By summer, the heat of the sun has burned it all away and there's no rain through the autumn and winter. And so it all dies off. But in spring, yes, there's plenty of grass. And of course, where are they? On the side of a hill with the water kind of nearby, the fresh, verdant waters. So all of those imagery of Psalm 23 and those beautiful images of the shepherd are very fresh and evoked within us. Then Jesus simply takes, he blesses, and he gives. In the other Gospels, he gets the disciples to do the work. But here, Jesus is the one who serves and ministers to us directly. He longs to feed us. He longs to give us all that we need, all that we long for. And in these days when so many of you aren't able to receive from the table of the Lord, aren't able to receive the Eucharist, He will give you what you need, even so. He's still available in prayer to minister to you, to serve you, to offer his life and his joy, his hope to you. And then we're told this final piece of instruction that's kind of curious. You know, they're just scraps of this poor bread, little fish. But Jesus says, pick up all the pieces left over so that nothing gets wasted. Again, it's that sign of compassion that Jesus doesn't want anything to go to waste. And so he's even attentive to the little scraps. I mean, at times I've kind of felt that, you know, I'm nothing more than just a little scrap, a little broken piece. And yet this gospel will tell us that all of that is precious too. Gather it, collect it. So often we've perhaps just imagined that this is only talking about the holy gift, about the Eucharist itself. But of course, we know that, and Paul will tell us today in our second reading, that we are the body, and he's wanting us to be united. He's wanting us to be connected together. He's longing that we will experience this sense of being brought together in that union of the body. And so those little fragments are the most neglected, the people, the poor, the broken, the fragile, the neglected, the forgotten. Jesus wants all of that brought together, all of that brought into that same experience of being nurtured and nourished by God's love. We have the opportunity during this period of lockdown to at least reach out by phone or by other electronic ways to those who are fragile, who are feeling lonely, and to have that sense of connecting with the body of Christ. Let's not neglect that duty. Let's indeed be attentive to all those who are fragile, who are broken, who are separated at this time. Paul tells us, you know, again in our second reading, that he's in chains, he's in prison when he's writing all this. So it's, you know, very apt for us to know that even isolated, even separated, we're never far from the love of God. And we can share that with others. We can connect with others virtually, if not physically, in order to allow them to experience that same joy and that same delight. It's indeed, just be mindful of each other, hold each other in prayer, and pray that we will also be nourished and fed by the Word of God this week.